That Wisconsin-Purdue game. O'Connell, Bell on offense. David Bell is 52% of Purdue's offense. Jeff Brohm used the unorthodox style of three quarterbacks against Iowa to keep them off balance. And O'Connell throws for 371. You have Wisconsin, which is 117th in college football in passing yardage, 115th in scoring offense. They're just 1-3 against Power 5 competition. Running the ball, they're going to run against a Purdue defense that is pretty stout. And Wisconsin's defense is number 3 in the country. What an interesting matchup in West Lafayette. Purdue wins, they'll remain ranked coming into Lincoln next week. Purdue loses, you all of a sudden go, Wisconsin, okay, because Wisconsin and Iowa play next week. But that's Purdue is ranked for the first time in the top 25 since 2007. Brohm being unorthodox this year, but also made major changes on defense. Making a move, I think, is the easy part. Making a move with your staff, that's the easy part. The hard part, and you get one get-out-of-jail-free card when you start making changes on your staff that you make, not somebody leaving. The easy part, thanks, got to move on. The hard part is making the hire for what you need and is better than what you got rid of. Here is Doc on the Gary Sharp Show on The Zone. Thanks, Doc, for the call.
Hey, man, good afternoon. It's been a while.
Right? It has been. How are you, sir?
Well, I got the afternoon off on a Friday. Going to go home and spend some time with my wife. She's off, too.
And, oh, that is awesome.
Yeah. So, first point, just to say it very bluntly, we haven't been and are not getting trounced. Right? Would you
true.
Agree with that?
That is absolutely trounced. True.
There's been in years past, we can point to, I don't know, let's go 2004, Callahan's first year, right? We had a 70-point deal against Texas Tech, I think. We got killed by Kansas. I think that might have been a 70-pointer, too.
They all started to run together that year.
Huh?
They all started to run together that year. But you're right. Yeah. Both of those games were – they put – Texas Tech and KU put an interstate number up on Nebraska.
You know, it's interesting, though, because if you watch the 2003 Alamo Bowl, Pelini's interim coach year, and then the 2005 Alamo Bowl against Michigan, I'm telling you what, Nebraska still had some studs up front. We were getting to the quarterback with four.
Yep.
And whether it's then or whether it's now, if you can do that, which I think we're close to doing that. I think we have, not as much as we did back in that day. But my overall point is we're not getting trounced. I think we're all sick of hearing, you know, we're close and we're inches away. I think when Frost talked about inches, I think Martinez got in the end zone. I wish they would have shown the opposite camera angle on that, which I don't think they ever did. I think he got in, by the way.
Yes. I thought so originally as well, Doc. But they did not have a camera angle that could change the call on the field. They did not have their full allotment of cameras that usually ESPN broadcasts have.
Mm-mm. So ifs and buts, right?
Yep.
I'm glad there's still season left. I'm glad we got a bye. I think they're going to use it to the best effect to prepare us for Purdue. And I know there's talk about line coach and number 54 and some things that are glaring. I guess the head scratcher for me is, like, for example, and Damon and Michael were talking about it this morning. You know, before the season, we had a stable of running backs. It's like, okay, you got to feel really good about that. But, I don't even know how to say it. What's the decision process, right, for guys to make the field? Obviously, the misstep with Yance, and everybody can see his potential, but coach has got to trust you. I don't care, freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, you know, coach has got to trust you. But and I know we've had injury there too, but that's one room that has really been a head scratcher for me personally as a fan. As, you know, you really felt good coming into the season that, And there's been ups and downs with that. I don't even want to call it ebb and flow.
So, Doc, I think this is the third straight year that by the middle of the year, it might even be the fourth straight year, by the middle of the year, the starting running back, RB1, was somebody that was third or fourth on the depth chart when the season began. As I said a little bit earlier, I think if you look at Irvin, who showed everybody enough that once he gets healthy again off his knee injury, he'll be back in the mix. And I think Ramir Johnson has shown you plenty of glimpses of being the guy. But he began the camp in the fall as the number five guy and jumped over quite a few people. But I feel better about what Nebraska could have next year in the running back room with your top two than I have in a while. But it is a mystery. You're absolutely right about now what is Yant's role moving forward. And then whatever happened to Marquise Stepp? Is it the injury that kept lingering? What happened post-Fordham when he was used a lot? I mean, there's a lot of questions. And then there's, you know, what do you do with Savion Morrison?
Right. Well, I guess the last thing I might touch on is his people talk about new assistants and whatnot. And of course, conjecture is what it is, right? The head scratching, right? And when people are playing and like you say, coming up the depth chart and, where were they in the first place? I don't know. We don't see Monday through Friday, though. And we don't find out a lot about it either. But anyway, we'll see how the rest of the season goes, and looking forward to good things, that's for sure.
Hey, Doc, thanks for the phone call. Good to hear from you again.
You bet.
So not being involved in blowouts, keeping games close that are very winnable games that in turn turn into one-possession games. I think this offensive staff, they realize how the Big Ten is played. You value possessions. You don't get a ton of possessions. Run the ball, ball control, time of possession. That's how the West is being won. Okay, so you're adapting, realizing you're not going to get a ton of possessions, so you have to value the possession. I think in this case, to help with that thinking on the offensive side of the ball, look at defense. Look at times where Nebraska just gotten the doors blown off. Why did Nebraska give up a million yards to Melvin Gordon? Well, Melvin Gordon just kind of could do whatever he wanted to do in that game up in Madison. But remember what that score was? Nebraska was in a good spot in that game. Well, it was defense, being stubborn, not adjusting. This is how we're going to do it. Papuchis and Pelini vehemently disagreed on getting out of a particular defensive style. I think a thing that has helped this year is Eric Chenander's not stubborn. He adjusts as the game goes along. He's got a great vibe with his unit of they can adjust on the fly and they can make changes. And also, you have not had defensive busts. You've not had great busts where the defense all of a sudden breaks down and it's bam, bam, bam. Now, it kind of felt that way, was trending that way on Saturday. It was like the slow bus. But what happened after halftime? Defense adjusted. Defense woke up. Defense tweaked some things. Defense played better. Defense gave up five first downs in the second half, and they gave you an opportunity to win. So I think that's not getting blown out this year or games that could get sideways. A lot of it credit to the defense. They haven't had busts. They've kept you in the game, and they've said, here you go. We haven't played great, but we're not getting blown out, and there's still a game to be won. But then as when Dirk joins us, we'll talk about, well, you get the game to be winnable, and how come it's not? All right, we'll finish the hour here. You want to take this, Josh? You and this man share a lot of similarities?
We got some things to discuss, Jameson.
Hello, Jameson.
Hey, Gary.
Hey, say hello to Josh.
Hey, Josh. Last night was not good for us, was it? I don't know what Max Fried, honestly. That was just a horrible night, but, you know.
First inning was good.
Yeah, it was. It was, especially Freeman going yard. After that, unfortunately, the rest went downhill. But, you know, the Braves, they've gone through a lot of adversity. They've gone through everything. You throw them, so I like our chances. Game 6, Anderson definitely want to bounce back. And, you know, everything I read, you know, basically Snicker held back a lot of our big-time firepower arms in the bullpen. So they're all rested and ready to go. So hopefully they come back and get the thing done in Atlanta in front of the home crowd.
Get it Saturday. Don't let it go to Sunday.
Amen to that, Josh. Yeah. Definitely won't go game 7. And then, Gary, you ready to come visit the King Henry?
Yeah, and Gary.
You're going to hurt that poor Chiefs defense like a hot knife through butter, my man. Get ready for the can because you get ready to roll over.
That's going to work both ways, though, really.
Sunday.
Hey, hey, that's okay. It's going to be a shootout. Have you seen this quarterback? You heard of a guy named Patrick Mahomes?
I saw him throw a bad interception against Washington. I saw that.
Okay, I've seen him play in the Super Bowl the last 2 years. And I also, I think, is leading the league in touchdown passes. I might be crazy. Maybe that was just a misprint.
Don't worry. The Giants even make that one throw stop and get the victory, because we did against the Chiefs in Nashville a couple years ago with
Yeah, you cheated. You cheated. He was offside.
No,
he was offside. You cheated to win that game.
He got the snap count.
Yeah.
He got the snap count.
Oh, you know what? That's okay. Do you remember the AFC Championship game a couple years ago?
Yeah. I know.
Okay,
I know.
We got revenge from the previous one where Jeff Triplett screwed the Chiefs. We'll get revenge on Sunday. Okay.
We shall see, Gary. But you're definitely ready for fun. Fun game for sure. And by the way, the Chiefs have owned Andy Reid as well, head to head, everything. Just saying that as well. So I got a chance. This especially that's being a 5.5 underdog on at home again. Okay. That's usual. Times usually being an underdog, and basically everybody else know that you shouldn't be sleeping on us.
Oh, no, we're not sleeping on you because of number 22.
As far as national media and stuff like that, I'm saying you're us being a times being dog at home again.
All right.
We're on Monday night, so.
I look forward to noon, and I look forward to Monday when you call in and we talk about this game.
For sure, and then. Hopefully, if Brad Scott's team is by, we get self-scouting. We're ready for hopefully a good push for the rest of the season here, Gary.
All right. Jameson, thank you. Have a great weekend.
We'll do.
That might be a game where one stop wins it.
Yes. Yes. It's a prove-it game for Kansas City. Stop turning the ball over. But even with that, the offense has been pretty good. I don't know if the defense fixed things last week against Washington. They're going to give up runs. They're going to give up yards to Derrick Henry. That's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know. I keep going back and forth. I could talk myself into winning that game and talk myself right out of it.
Well,
5.5, that's a big number home.
You got a busy weekend with your Braves and your Titans. So I think if you get the Braves the World Series, I think you're good.
Yeah, everything else is gravy.
Yeah, you don't care about the Titans for another week.
You give me a win on Saturday. Titans have an easy schedule for the rest of the year after Sunday. Just give me the pennant. You can have whatever you want the rest of the weekend.
Last hour of this week coming up next on the Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone.